The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is I Should Be Writing, Season 17, Episode 22.
Well, I should be writing. I should be working on my craft. I should be writing. I should be submitting my next draft. But I'm sitting watching Doctor Who.
And welcome to I Should Be Writing. This is the podcast for wannabe fiction writers. I'm your host, Mer Lafferty. I've been working on a couple of changes to my websites, or my podcasts. Still in a process of planning right now. But hope to be working on some changes coming up. Problem is, it's like I said last episode, which is the shiny thing. Like, suddenly I want to change all my podcasts. That could be because the podcasts need refreshing. It also could be because I have a book due. And it's so much easier to plan out changes to something rather than work on an existing project that's been on your plate for over a year. So, perhaps I'll work on changes to the podcast once the book is turned in. I think that might be safer. I'm afraid I'm going to be pretty flaky. When the deadline starts getting closer and closer, the fine-tuned focus kind of goes in, which is good, the downside being everything else suffers a little bit. News about me, I got my first vaccine this weekend. That was super exciting. It was, it was weird how they had streamlined everything. It was all drive-through. They had to have 50 people total directing traffic because you had to go down a certain road and then they had to find your name and then you had to drive around and then I think they were expecting a larger group at once, even though they'd had us timed out. I don't know. But it was pretty streamlined. And then after we got the jab, and then they gave us the things you should know before your COVID-19 vaccine after. So that was a thing. And then we drove to a hospital parking lot and sat for 15 minutes while they waited to see if we went into anaphylactic shock. I'm being a little bit exaggerating, only that is a reason why they have you sit down, sit after, say, allergy shots and the like. They do want to see if you go into shock, but it's rare. Very, very rare. But still, it's best for everybody if you do sit there. And then the mayor of Oxford, North Carolina, came to talk to us. I just complimented her face mask because it had sequins all over and it was very pretty. And then she came over and talked to us for like 10 minutes, and I don't know why. But work proceeds on the book, and I'm very happy with that. Also, last week, we talked about accountability buddies and how perhaps, you know, the question is, how can you keep going if you don't have a deadline or other things want to distract you? And, you know, we brought up the idea of accountability buddies, and I have one. I have a couple, and we've been getting together at 8 o'clock in the morning to, write, and we write for 3 hours. And granted, it's hard to get there, and it's a little awkward being on camera when you're still in your bathrobe, but you're not there to impress anybody, you're there to get work done and be accountable and stuff. And it's actually working. And I'm thinking, again, I feel like I've got a whole bunch of other things in the planning kind of area, but I'm thinking that I want to make make a live stream that's writing focused for folks to show up and do accountability stuff. We did it a couple of times during NaNoWriMo, until that fell apart, but that was another thing. If you're new to the show, my agent quit being an agent in November, and that kind of threw off my whole NaNoWriMo plan because I was suddenly doing an agent hunt. Also, feel the need to say, you know, no hard feelings. A lot of times when agency things end, it can be bad, but it was just fine. She wanted to go another way in her career entirely. If you are a Patreon supporter, there's also space for you to do accountability stuff in the Discord. I understand if people don't feel comfortable opening up rooms without me there, but I can try to be there more often too. We can talk about that in the Discord. But the book keeps going on. I wrote part of a new scene today, trying to make a character a little bit more sympathetic, I guess. It's challenging, honestly. The topic of today is that writing is like running except when it's not. If you've ever seen any of these shows or heard any of these shows, you'll know that I like to compare writing and running because I feel like I'm perpetually a new runner, but working on that habit is another story. But when you start out, you decide you want to be a writer. You start out and you have a sense, Ira Glass described this better than I could, but you being a fan of writing, hopefully, having your favorite books, you know what good writing sounds like, and you have a great idea. So the next logical step would be take your great idea and write it like a book you know, like a book that you like because you know what good writing sounds like, only you can't get there because it's your first time trying, and it's frustrating, and it doesn't make any sense because you've got this great idea, and you know what good writing sounds like, so why can't you do it? But when you want to start running for the first time, you don't leave your house and expect to win races, and you don't expect to run a marathon. You know you gotta get out there and do a run-walk program until you can do more running than walking, until you're running and doing small breaks, and then you're running all the time, and then you can start upping your mileage and you increase your times doing that stuff, and then learn about intervals and hills. You probably know what hills are, but intervals. And this is all stuff that you learn as you go, as your body gets stronger. So I like to compare riding the same way, because people are a lot easier on themselves when it comes to learning how to run, because they know they're not in shape. But when it comes to creativity, it's like they expect to be able to do it immediately, and they can't. It's just not, your brain is not used to thinking that way when it never has before, so you need to work on it. You can start simply with fanfic, and I'm not putting down fanfic. Fanfic is wonderful, but fanfic does have you start out with an established setting or established characters, or taking your characters and putting them into established plot. Anyway, something's already in place. That's why it's easier. You can still tell awesome stories in fanfic in licensed work. I feel like I'm trying to clean up behind myself with like the little robot in WALL-E. But you can start out like that. You can start doing vignettes. You don't have to do a whole beginning, middle, and end. Just do a day in the life of somebody. You work up to this. And so you do it regularly. I am not in the you must write every day camp. I know a lot of people can't. I equate writing every day with training wheels on a bicycle. It helps beginners get used to writing. And if that helps you be productive, then the metaphor falls apart, because then you clearly, pro writers who are writing every day wouldn't call them training wheels. But for other people, There are people who write just fine, and they write a lot, but they don't write every day. And I think if you are unable to write every day, then you need to know that it's possible to create a career without it. But still doing it frequently when you're starting out is important in setting the habit, and you'll learn more the more you do. So practice the writing like you practice exercise. And a lot of times, I think this takes the stress off you a little bit. Because sometimes when you're training just to learn how to do something. Like when you're going out there and you just want to start running for health or weight loss, or just you want to get outside, you're not thinking, I need to make this personal record. I need to hit this time period. I need to run around my neighborhood in this amount of time. I need to do more walking than running. You just, you know, you go out there and you do the exercise, and your body learns. And a lot of times when you're writing, you can get lost in the, is it good? Would I show this to somebody? Is this something I could have published? And you forget, you just tell the story. You know, just as in running, when you're training your body, when you're writing, you're training your mind. And you can think about the story, obviously, but once you start getting outside of this story that's right in front of you and you start thinking, what can I do with this? Is it good? Is it bad? Would I show it to my workshop? Should I get a workshop if I'm good enough? I don't know. That's when you start, you know, you just need to think about the words that you're putting down right now. So that's why I like to equate them, because you shouldn't be thinking about much beyond what you're doing right now. The more you do it, the better you'll get, and you shouldn't expect to win races or have a bestseller the first time you get started. But I was thinking today that as much as I love this metaphor, there are ways that writing is not like running. And I think it comes to this, all of this feels like it piggybacked on last week. I didn't think last Thursday's episode was going to be anything special, but it actually, the discussion was so good, it really turned into something awesome. And I realized today I had more to say about it. If you didn't check, last week's was essentially all the shiny toys that want to distract you when you need to be working on something that you're not crazy about. Excuse me, I shouldn't have said crazy. That you're not excited about. But when it's not like running, the thing about writing is that you're learning every time you do it. This is not something that you can take a test on and say, I learned A, B, and C about character. It's a subconscious thing. Like, if you go out and you do half of your run, and you feel like crap, and you walk home, you benefit from that still. Hopefully you haven't injured yourself, but you benefit from it. But if you keep starting stories and not finishing them, because either you don't know what happens next, or you hate what you're writing, or you've got another idea that's really, really, really so much better, and then you switch to something new, your mind is learning to write half a story. And one of the hardest things to do is finish a story, especially if you're not excited about it. Ah, I did it again. Even if you're not excited about it. Because you know it's crap. If the metaphor were baking, you would not dump salt in instead of sugar and go, oh well, I should keep going then. No, you don't keep going when you use salt instead of sugar. You stop and you throw it away. But when it comes to writing, there are nuances in each part of the story. You know, there's a way you should start your story. There's a way you should build your tension. There's a way your climax should be. And I'm not saying there's one way. I'm just saying that you'll know what's right and what's wrong in the story. It either hits or it doesn't. And when you go through that, even if you know the middle's weak, you think, I have never gotten to the end of a story. So I better experience how the end of a story goes, even if it makes no sense and isn't connected to the middle. Let's say they all get locked in a room and you don't know how they're getting out. Well, hand wave it and then tell us how those characters end their story. It's not great, it won't sell, no one will like it, but you will have the experience of finishing it, and maybe next time you'll be able to figure out how they got out of the room. But if you keep starting and never finishing your stories, that's what you're training your mind to do. You're training your mind to start and then stop. And I thought of this topic when I was looking up Camp NaNoWriMo, because I'm actually on the board of Camp NaNoWriMo, and I got email from Grant Faulkner saying, one thing that we hear a lot of is people saying, great, they wrote 50,000 words in November, but that's not necessarily finishing a book. Most people know that books, at least for adult readers, are typically 80,000 to 100,000 words, unless you get up into epic fantasies, but that's a different animal. And so people know that it's a challenge to get down those 50,000 words, and it is an accomplishment. It's a huge accomplishment. But if you didn't finish the story, now you've got half a story, or three quarters of a story, whatever. And so the focus of Camp NaNoWriMo this time will be finishing something. And my comment was, you know, if you want to be like the storytellers of old, well, they didn't sit by the campfire and tell half a story and then get up and wander away into the woods. And so this is how writing is not like probably anything else except for something creative. Because there are different parts to everything you do. And even if it's terrible, just trying to do it is experience you need to get better. I've written plenty of crappy stories. I've written stories I thought were great and ended up crappy. I've written stories that I knew were crappy from the first time I wrote it, but it was still a story I wanted to tell, and so I wrote it and then I put it away. I got it out of my system at least. So, I know it's hard. It's really, really hard to write something that you know is just not good. And it's difficult to write something that is difficult. I know that sounds redundant, but it's hard to keep going when a story gets difficult to write. And so it feels natural to quit. And when you get that shiny new idea, you get that sense of, well, clearly that story's going to go better. So I'm just going to put this one aside and finish that one. And you may be right, but you're giving up an opportunity for experience. And experience is what is going to make you better. So I am, as I mentioned, Camp NaNoWriMo is coming up. I've never been good at getting involved, like deeply involved in Camp NaNoWriMo. I don't know why. I think it's just because NaNoWriMo is such a big to-do. And it's got the same rules that everybody has to follow. Whereas Camp NaNoWriMo is much more of a smaller event. It's, you set your own creative goal, you work on any writing project, you do it with friends. They have the concept of cabins, so you could put like 12 people in a cabin or something. I'm looking at the site to see, because again, I haven't done it that much. You announce a project, you associate it with a NaNoWriMo event, and once April 1st comes, you start tracking. It's also in July, but we're not at July yet. And once you reach your goal, they'll confirm your win. There are forums. I have a Discord specifically for my Patreon supporters, but last November I opened up another Discord for NaNoWriMo people. And I am reopening that, I guess. It's never been closed, but people stopped using it. But that information is in the show notes if you would like to join that Discord to talk about your Camp NaNoWriMo project. And we can talk about new stuff. We can talk about having to finish the old stuff. But have a really good community of people in both Discords. So if you want to be a Patreon supporter at just the dollar level, you can come join the Discord for I Should Be Writing. Or if you just want to dip your toe in, check out the Discord for NaNoWriMo fans, I Should Be Writing fans. So that link is in the chat right now and will be in the show notes later. I will probably participate. I'm in a weird spot where I'm finishing a book. If I don't finish the book by April, then I don't think about Camp NaNoWriMo at all. I get offline and buckle down and finish the book and don't pay attention to anything else, including my podcasts and my streams, because priorities. But the goal is to finish before April 1st. So, if I finish it, then I have two other projects to edit. And so I'll probably just figure out that word count and make that my goal. They're smaller projects than a novel, so I should be able to get it done in about half the month, I hope. Crossing fingers. Because I could really use a break. But it's fun. I just love the community aspect. Really, that's what NaNoWriMo has brought me. I've never won it. It's awful. I think I came really close one year. But I know I can write 50,000 words in a month, because I have in the past, but never in November with NaNoWriMo tracking me. So it's kind of a sore point with me, and I try every year and I fail every year, but I keep trying. But another thing, I talked about this a lot last year, so if you've heard this, I'm sorry. But another thing that NaNoWriMo gives is if you try it and you quote-unquote fail, odds are you've still written more than you would have written had you not tried NaNoWriMo at all. So even though when my agent quit, it just kind of threw me into a tailspin and I had to stop focusing on the word count and start focusing a little bit more on my agent hunt, I still got words done that month than I wouldn't have, that I wouldn't have had I not signed up for it. Because I remember I was not in the mood to write, but I had scheduled a couple of live write-ins on Twitch, and I knew I had to be there and be with people, so I showed up and did the accountability thing. So I guess what I'm trying to say here is accountability buddies are very good and you need one, probably. Two, writing is like running except when it's not, because it's very, very important to finish what you start, which isn't always the case in running. And Camp NaNoWriMo is happening, and if you want to give it a try, you can check out our Discord. Discord, if you're not aware of it, is a very easy to use chat program. It's got its own, you can make a little room with invite only even, and keep it small or large. They have different bots to help you do word wars, like you set up saying, I want to do a word sprint for 25 minutes, and then whoever wants to join says they want to join, and then the bot tells you when to start, and it tells you when to finish, and then you put in your word counts, and it tells you how everybody did. And these little details are what's really fun about trying to gamify your writing. I've talked a lot about For the Words in the past. I'm not going to talk about it too much here, but if you are interested in gamifying your writing and you haven't gone to For the Words, check it out. That is For the Words with a numeral four, thewords.com. It is essentially RPG. When you hit your word count, you kill monsters, essentially. That is about it. I think I had a question actually come in through email. Let me check. That's right. Truck Poetry sent me a couple of questions and I have not answered them all. I'm sorry. Differences you found writing a novella versus novel versus short story. Okay, I'll tackle that one. I think you look at it like, I often look at it like food. A good short story is like a very rich truffle. It's small, but if it's made right, it is satisfying and pleasurable. Basically, that's all you need. You don't sit there and go, I wish I had a Thanksgiving turkey worth of these little truffles. Little truffles are supposed to be, you know, eaten just a little bit, eaten, and it's satisfying. There's not a lot that goes into them. And a novella would be more like just a general meal. You know, you've got it's larger and it's still satisfying, but it's not too complex. You don't really go all out when it's like Wednesday night and you're feeding your family. And the novel would be Thanksgiving dinner, full several course fancy meal. The kind of meal where you have different wines with each course. These are the people that don't get sick when they mix alcohol, I guess. But it's a question of scale. Speaking more literally, short stories will have usually no more than 4 characters. Yeah, a pro writer can put in more and make it work, but when you're starting out, I would say you want a handful of characters because you've only got 7,500 words at most to tell your story, and each person you put in there is a different, is more words and interaction and descriptions and everything. So, fewer people. There's really only one story. There's not a lot of room for a B-plot. And if there is a B-plot, it's more hinted at. There's not a lot of room for anything, any plot lines to go through if you write another story. You can hint at things, but you can't have a larger arc. It's a lot harder to do that. Novellas are tricky because a lot of times novellas can read like short stories that went too long or novels that got cut too short. It's a tricky thing to accomplish. But the story with novellas has to be bulkier than short stories. More people, probably a B-plot. More things happen. You know, there's plot is very much like a tug of war. You know, with each chapter you've got the antagonist part of the story pulling it this way and things are getting worse for our heroes, and then our heroes get a couple of wins and they pull it back this way, and then as you get closer to the climax the antagonist gets stronger and stronger and pulls it this way until, if it's not a tragedy, the protagonist pulls it back over the climax. And, you know, those are scene beats that there's a finite number you can have. So in short stories, there's going to be like 2 or 3. But in novellas, you've got a lot more room to go back and forth with the antagonist part getting their hits in, the protagonist part getting their hits in. And then with novels, you can go as large as you want. You know, there's no limit to the people, the number of characters. There's no limit to the number of side plots. There's no limit to the story beats where the action goes back and forth. There's no limit, but it's really hard to get too many people in there. But, you know, you point out a really successful epic fantasy that uses a lot of characters and, you know, they can make it work, but not everybody. can. It's I still think that stories with fewer characters are more enjoyable to me, simply because you don't have to keep up with everything. Less stuff to keep up with. But a lot of people can make the number of characters work. It's going to make your book longer, but some people like that. So take it as, boiling it down, it's the number of characters. It's the number of plot points that happen in the story to carry the story along. And that's different than the length of the story. It's more how much is happening within it. And then there's the number of plots. I mean, there are just so many, you know, a good A, B, and possibly some C plots in a good novel. Because you've got whatever the big external conflict is, your main characters are going to have some internal conflicts going on, and then there's going to be other conflicts happening with other characters, or something ridiculous and simple, like the kid who wants $2 in the movie Better Off Dead. That was not a very important plot line, but it was definitely throughout the whole movie. So, yeah, I would say that those are the difference between novels, novellas, and short stories, essentially. And if you're curious, then grab some of the ones that you're not familiar with and read them. As going about writing them, I typically don't outline short stories. I think that's a waste of time because I'm so bad at outlining anyway that I might as well just write the story, consider it an outline. If it needs major rewrites, well, I'll go in and majorly rewrite it. It would be harder for me to come up with an outline, which would probably be half the length of the story, because short stories are short. But novellas and novels would benefit more from outlines. I'm going to go to the chat now. If you are listening to this on the feed later, if you're interested in what Chat and I talk about, you can check out the full episode download at patreon.com/mightymur, which is available to everybody who pledges at any level. And otherwise, you get the fancier, tighter, edited version in the RSS feed. You know, I am been working on improving my podcast, and it's not been going as well as I'd hoped. That's why I wanted to change up a couple more things, because I've seriously plateaued, and I thought that once I started focusing on the fact that I plateaued, things would improve, and they're not, and it's getting kind of scary. So I do want to say, if you have any writer friends, spread the word about I Should Be Writing. But if you have any questions for me or want to follow up on anything, I can be found at mightymur@gmail.com. I am mightymur on Twitter. Although when I work a lot, I tend to stay away from Twitter because that is another horrible distraction for me. And Mighty Mur on Twitch, which some of you already know that because you're here, but people later may not know. And yeah, I have books. I have a podcast called Escape Pod that is the science fiction, free science fiction stories every week. I co-edit it with SB Divya, and if you like science fiction, I highly recommend it. But I am biased. But I'm right. I have fun doing this live. It's really great for me. And I think we've developed a pretty good group here. Really awesome people. Very welcoming. Very kind. And I'm lucky to have all of y'all helping me out and supporting me. Because I'm trying to support you. I hope I am. But I don't think you know how much you do for me, and it means a lot, so thank you. And I guess with that, I will end things. Take care, wear your mask, wash your hands, and you should be writing and not being distracted. Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymur. tried convincing. I should be writing theme music provided by John Emilio. You can find more about him at johnemilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license.
But I should be writing. I should be working on my craft.
You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavor swirling together with cold brew, topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. And that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.